Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
All right, so I want to welcome us to this series of teachings. Now, so I just want to make some general introduction as we enter into this week of Bible teaching. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some things that you need to know. So, it's a teaching week. Hallelujah. It's a teaching week. So, the Bible says that Paul was teaching from morning up till night. When Brother Itikus, you know, Brother Itikus is an Igbo man. He closed shop late in the evening and came for the program from his shop. And he was tired. So when he came, there was no chair. The whole place was full. So he went, the only place he could find was the window. So he sat by the window, and because he was tired, he fell asleep and fell off the window. So it's unapologetically a teaching week. So it may not be for everybody. I desire that it be for everybody, but it may not be for everybody. Actually, my intention was to use the RCU hall. Because not everybody may be called to it. Is that right? So at any point that you feel you have had enough, you are permitted to take your Bible and excuse yourself. Do you understand that? Don't feel guilty. At any point you feel you have had enough, take your Bible and excuse yourself. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The bus service will be available after the service. So if it's about getting home, that should not be a problem. But at any point you feel you are tired, you have some other appointment, something else to do, please, you can just quietly pick your Bible and go. Are we understanding that? That is what I will say for today. Tomorrow, when we come, we will see some other manifestations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. We're going to be looking today at the topic, the Holy Spirit, or the kingdom of God, you and the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God, you and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we receive utterance tonight in Jesus' name. When God wants to mature a people, please listen carefully. When God wants to mature a people, the first thing that God begins to do is to change your diet. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. When God wants to mature a people, what does he do? He changes what? Your diet. When a child begins to grow, when a mother notices that a child is growing, is that okay? What does the mother do? She begins to introduce more solid food to that child. Praise God. So the child that has been on milk, is that okay? Maybe this, what do they call it now? Baby friendly, pure, just the child is just on milk, right? The moment the child begins to be, the mother begins to notice that that child is becoming of age, is growing, is that all right? What happens? They begin to introduce things like eggs, right? They mash the egg. Are you getting me? Beans, is that all right? They look for no porridge, you know, something soluble that the child can take. Praise God. So when God begins to temper with our diet, and God begins to change our diet, is that okay? The meaning of it is that either we are beginning to grow or God wants us to grow. Are we understanding that? So as we come into this season, into this year, and the things that God is beginning to introduce to us, The meaning of it is that either God wants us to grow or we are showing signs of growth. And so God now begins to tamper with our diet. Are we understanding that? Growth in the spirit often begins with a change of your diet. Once God wants you to begin to grow in the spirit, he begins to change your diet. Thus, when God prepares you for a higher level, he transitions you from milk to meat. When God wants to move you to a higher level, he transitions you from milk to meat. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. That is that person is a babe. Now, the word unskillful means that person does not have the capacity to deploy the word of God and to use that word of God to be able to achieve expected outcomes. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That means that it is possible for a man to pick up the word of God and to use the word of God. Somebody came to see me yesterday, and the person was telling me, the person has been out of job for about a year. Yeah, more than a year he has been out of a job. So the person was telling me, he said, I don't remember really what we taught, but he said from around September last year, he said he began to take the word of God and to use the word of God. And he said to me, he said, for the first time in his life, are you understanding that? There was a time he was working and earning. He said, but for the first time in his life last year, he paid a tithe. That is, he had an income at a point of 500,000 that he was able to. He said he paid a tithe of 50,000. That means he was beginning to quote the scriptures for me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He was beginning. He said he has been out of job. He was not really working, but he found scriptures, and he took those scriptures. You know, Jeremiah said that I found thy word. Are you understanding what I'm saying? One, you have to understand something about the word of God. You see, every one of us has this thing in our hand. Is that okay? But not every one of us knows how to use this Bible that we have. So, for you to be able to use scripture well, you must find something in scripture. That's why he said, I found thy word, and I did eat it, and it became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. So, listen. When God wants to begin to change your level, what God begins to do is that he changes your diet. He changes you from milk. And when you are handling milk, what if the meaning of milk is that? The meaning of a man whose diet is milk is that he is not skillful. And the word skill relates to your capacity to use tools, right? Or to use knowledge. Is that all right? So, when the Bible says a person is unskillful, it means the person does not have the capacity to pick up the word of God and stay on nothing but the word of God and produce results with that word of God. So the Bible says the man is unskillful in what? In the word of righteousness. For he is a babe, or he is a baby. Next verse, verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them, which means it doesn't belong to everybody. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of what? Of full age. Even those who by reason of use, that means, you know, I told you it relates to skill. It relates to knowledge. It relates to ability. That is that, listen to me. In dealing with the word of God, there is a level where you know the word of God at head knowledge. There are people who know the word of God, but it is head knowledge. They can quote scripture for you. That is why, as you encourage people, you know, to be able to quote scripture and say, Matthew 5:16 says this, this one says this. Listen to me. That does not mean you know God, and it does not mean that you know his word. The word know, as used in the Bible, when the Bible says, thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You know, I told you, English is limited. The word know there is the word yada, which talks about intimacy, which talks about an experiential knowledge. It's not just something that is in my head. It's not just that I'm quoting scripture. It's that I know it intimately. I know it intricately. I can take the word of God and produce result with it. So some people know the word of God in their head. That is all. But when the challenges of life come up, when the issues of life come up, they cannot pick that word of God and deploy it in that situation. It's just like a person who has been taught about how to use a gun. You have been taught, you know the trigger, you know where this one is, you have one. But when it is time to shoot, are you understanding my point? You pick up the gun, and as you are trying to shoot, the gun jumps out of your hand. Bro, you don't know. You may own one, but you don't know how to use it. Praise God. So many people have the word of God in their head as an information, but they don't have it in their heart as a revelation. The word of God must move from just being an information in your head, and it must become a revelation in your heart. It is when that transmission takes place, when that transition from the word of God be, that is why many people are in church, but not many people are transformed. That's why many people are in church, but not many people are converted, are getting converted. That's why many people are in church, but not many people are carrying the nature of God. The reason is that the word of God, for many of them, is just an information in their head. That word of God has not transformed into every area of their life. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So when God wants to begin to do a work in your life, God begins to temper with your diet. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Even those who by reason of use, they've been using it. They've been walking with it. Who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern. That is, the word discern means that the moment they see something, they don't need translation. They don't need interpretation. They don't need, are you understanding what I'm saying? That's how you see something and you just know this is of God. Or you hear something, you know this is of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You see something and nobody has to come and tell you whether this is of God or it's not of God. Because by reason of use, you have come to the point where when you hear something, in fact, let me tell you, you can even hear something that sounds right, but in your spirit, you know this is not right. You are no more operating just by knowledge. You are operating by discernment. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So Satan could quote to Jesus, because the word of God says so. But Jesus knew that the thing that was behind that quotation was not of God. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? Who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hallelujah. So the mark of divine growth is refined appetite. The mark of divine growth, when God begins to cause you to grow, one of the things that this year I'm trusting God I will share with us is the gift of appetite, the gift of desire. Your growth ends where your appetite stops. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you know that? Have you ever been somewhere where somebody cooked a very nice meal, but you were not hungry? There was no appetite. There was no desire for it. There was no desire for it. I hope you know that hunger and appetite don't mean the same thing. I hope you know you can be hungry but not have appetite. I hope you know you can be full and still have appetite. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? Have you overfed before? Have you eaten food? You knew you overfed. You were eating until the Holy Spirit was telling you stop. It's time to stop. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You were eating until the Holy Spirit. It took the Holy Spirit. That means that all your physical senses have stopped talking to you. It takes the Holy Spirit telling you, bro, stop. But you refuse to stop. You know what is happening to you, sir? It is appetite. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. So this mark of divine growth is appetite. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes, that's the mark. It's a refined appetite. The more you begin to desire certain things, it is a sign that you are beginning to grow. Hallelujah. So new levels require new fuel. New levels require what? New fuel. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, new level requires new fuel. Amen. So as we begin to look into some of the matters we are considering this weekend, understand that it is also a sign that God is transitioning us. Hallelujah. I said that what? God is what? Is transitioning us. So, if you really want to walk with God and do something significant in your walk with the Lord, I'm talking this evening about the kingdom, or you, the kingdom and the Holy Spirit, or the kingdom, you and the Holy, anyhow you decide that works for you. Praise God. So, but I want us to begin to look at what we're going to be looking at this evening from looking at the portion of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God. Now, one of the greatest harm that has been done to the body of Christ has been the preaching of the gospel in a form that makes it look as though God exists primarily to meet our needs. And as at today, as at the way the church is today, that seems to be the major, are you hearing me? The major reason for the existence of God. If I were to now lead us in a prayer meeting, let me tell you something. If I was to now lead us in a prayer meeting and I was to say, let's rise up and pray. If you know you are single, find somebody and join your hands together to pray. If you know that you are trusting God for a breakthrough this night, before tomorrow morning, find somebody. If you are passing by, you can feel the prayer. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But if I was to tell us, let us pray that God is going to bring a major revival in the city of Gombe, after 2 minutes, many of us will not have what to pray for. After 2 minutes of prayer, we will not have what to pray for. And the meaning of it is that we have been the harm. And let me say this. Let me tell you now, part of my greatest fear for the church in Nigeria. I hope you know that the Nigerian church, especially the Pentecostal move or the charismatic move, was designed after the American version. I hope you know that. Now, I hope you know that most of the way the gospel was brought, the charismatic gospel was brought in America, carried along with it the consumer mentality of the American culture. What is the American dream? The pursuit of happiness. So the American exists to be happy. It is the pursuit of happiness. And the gospel in Nigeria, let me tell you this. And the gospel in Nigeria has followed that trend. I went for a meeting somewhere, and around where the meeting that I was attending was holding, there were three churches having meetings, three massive churches. And as we were going into the meeting, the meeting I was going for was a mission-based meeting. It was an international meeting set up by major organizations for the purpose of mission work. But as I was going there, there were two other churches that were also having this general that they are doing prayer and fasting. They were having prayer. And I hope that you know that most of the time when we go for prayer in Nigeria, we go for breakthrough. We go for open door. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Before we entered the hall, I told the brethren that were with me, I said, that place we are going to, people will not be attending it. The two churches, they were packed, the whole street, they were almost closing a whole route. Because I know what they are praying inside. What they are praying inside is promotion, is marriage, is breakthrough. That's the prayer taking place inside. The other one, they are talking about people getting a mission. Nobody attends that one. The greatest harm that has been done to the gospel in Nigeria is the idea is a consumer-based gospel. It's a gospel where God exists to meet your needs. So even if you are even going to a church where they are not talking about how you can have breakthrough. Was it not last Sunday I taught first service, or let me say first meeting, I taught on business and finance. Is that not so? Second service, I taught on ministry. I said, how many were present at the first meeting? Hey! When I talked about ministry, no, in fact, in a long time, last Sunday, some people were sleeping in service. I saw people sleeping in service last Sunday. Now, I need you to understand something. You see, the gospel, there's a portion of the gospel that deals with our needs. It was Jesus that said, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. All of this is a message that has to do with your daily need. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. It has to do with your life. But it was also Jesus that said, when you pray, let your prayer be like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It was the same Jesus. But you see, we have taken that portion that has to do with our needs being met. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And then we have let go of the assignment, which is the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to understand something. We have done it upside down. Because the intention of God is that by the time his kingdom has come and his will is being done, bread will not be a problem for you. That is why he says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, give us this day our daily bread. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is why he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then he says, and all other things. How many are the all other things? As many. And all other things shall be added unto you. But what we have done was to seek all other things and then try to find a way to add the kingdom of God on top of it a little bit. Many people have missed out on what God really wants to do. Now, therefore, if you're going to get what God wants to do accurately, please listen to me. You must realign it. It must be kingdom first, then my daily bread. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? It must first be kingdom. It must first be him, then us. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying tonight? If you don't make that, let me tell you something. Let me even go ahead of myself and tell you this. If you want to actually see real breakthrough, start with kingdom. You see, the issue is this. Those needs, those things that we want God to do for us, God does not consider them as anything serious. You are the one that is considering them as something serious. He said, look at the lilies. They neither spin. Is that okay? He said, yet none of you, he said, Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He said, look at the sparrows. He said, they don't do anything. He said, yet your Father takes care of them. He said, are you not more than them? Then he says to us, are you hearing me? Who among you by worrying can add any of these things? He said, the things you are praying for, they are the things that the Gentiles. See, the day I read that thing, it changed my perspective of prayer and everything completely. You know, when he says that the things that you are praying about, he said they are the things that the Gentiles seek after. Do you know Gentile? It means unbelievers. That is the things that unbelievers are seeking after. And when Jesus speaks like that, he speaks within the context of the kingdom. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is why he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's a continuation of the same conversation. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And all other things shall be added unto you. He said, look, the reason why you are asking for that is, he said, your Father knows that you have need of those things. Look at your neighbor, tell him that my Father knows. Let me tell you the truth. Let me tell you something. We had a breakthrough about 2 weeks ago, a week or so ago. When we were preparing the budget of the year, there were certain things that we had need of. But as human beings, we did our priority list. Are you hearing me? And we felt that we can't meet up with everything. So let us just do the things that we believe we can achieve. Are you understanding me? Now, one of the things we had need of is a power generator. We had need of a generator. And the kind of generator we need now, because when we have conferences, most of the time, we have 260 kVA generators. And most of the time, two 60 kVA generators, both of them were bought as scrap. We bought them, we had to change parts in them, and then begin to use them. So they were not really giving us the 60 kVA power. That's not what they were giving us. They were possibly giving us maybe 30 or 40. And we've used them like that, and we've used them for years. So most of them, when we're having conference, if you noticed, it was only this last year that generator lights didn't go off at 360 especially. And if you noticed, we put off all the ACs. We didn't use the AC during 360. One of the things I used to pray about before 360 is the weather. Lord, let the weather calm down. In fact, if I have some of the ministers are coming, I will tell them ahead of time that Gombe is very hot. Please, you should come with light clothing. I remember the first time Dr. Andy came, I kept warning him, please, sir, come with light clothing. When he finally came, I don't know whether he was encouraging me or saying, boy, it's not that hot. But I saw him sweating. You know, so we had to put up the, so we had need of the generator. So, but we didn't put it in the budget, you know, because the kind of generator we need was going to be about 20 or 25 mil. And that's like total of the whole, are you understanding what I'm saying? Then a few days later, somebody wanted to sell his generator 140 kV. And then somebody who has been working for us, and the generator came into that person's hand. Somebody had already offered money for it. Through that person, the person that we know refused to sell it. The person did not only get us a discount, the person ensured that we didn't have to pay all the money at once. Tell somebody, your father knows that you have need of these things. The generator is twice combined all our two generators and half. And you know what? God help us to access it seamlessly. There was no, are you hearing what I'm saying? If I didn't tell you, or if you don't know the generator, if you don't go to the place, you will not even know that we have a new, almost a power plant in that place. Almost a power plant. Your heavenly father knows, are you hearing what I'm saying? Your heavenly father knows that ye have need of these things. The day I understood that principle, sir, there are things I stopped praying about. There are things I stopped praying about. And I don't want to say them, because if I say them, for the sake of some people's faith, it may become challenging for you. It may become challenging. If I tell you that there are things are you understanding what I'm saying? There are things that I stopped praying about them more than 14 years ago. Because of a certain reality, of a certain encounter I had from the Word of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So listen. So there's a portion to take care of our needs, but that level is not the perfect will of God for you. If you live your life at a level where everything is just what you eat, what you drink, what you wear, you know, that's not the perfect will of God for you. You must arrive at meat level. I mean, you must arrive at strong meat. Praise God. A man who has arrived at the strong meat level has settled the matter of basic needs. Let me even tell you this. There is a place God cannot take you when you still struggle with, when you are still struggling with what to wear, what to... See, God doesn't deal... Are you understanding what I'm saying? God doesn't do serious business with people that are too concerned about that level. Now, I want to say something. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that God does not meet needs. And I'm not saying that God is not concerned about your needs. I'm just telling you that when all your Christian life is about needs, you are at a particular level with God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And there's a certain level of move. There are things that God wants to do. He doesn't work with people whose daily concern is what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, the house I'm going to live in, rent. God, are you hearing what I'm saying? You must move beyond that level to begin to relate with God at a certain dimension. At a certain dimension. So, you have to understand that. And so when you understand that,
When you have dealt with that, you come to kingdom.
Now, listen to me very carefully. God, I'm doing introduction. God is a God of agenda. God is not, are you hearing what I'm saying? God is a God of agenda. God operates by agenda, not necessarily by time. God created time, but he's not within time. So, time is a tool to meet up with his agenda. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? God operates by agenda, not by need. That is why there are times that you can cry to God over a thing, and God may not respond to your cry. Not because God does not have compassion over you, but because within God's agenda, the time for that thing has not come. So God saw that the world needed a savior. But the Bible says God did not bring that savior until the due time. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? God knew that Elizabeth and Zechariah needed a child. But God had already designed that that child will be the one to introduce Jesus. And so God kept back. Are we ready for this thing? I said, are we ready for this thing? Because if you are mature, what happens to you when you begin to hear something like this is that you begin to align what is happening in your life. That is why, let me tell you something. There are some gospels we have developed, especially in Nigeria, that if you take that gospel out of Nigeria, it doesn't work. One of them is when you know that there's a theology of delay. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There are things men have called delay that is actually the purpose of God. So what do you think Zechariah and what Elizabeth would have been saying? What do you think would have been happening? Do you know that the angel met Zechariah before Zechariah met his wife? I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. It was not as if Elizabeth got pregnant. Then the angel went to tell Zechariah, your wife is pregnant. This is it. No, no. He met him. Then Elizabeth got pregnant. That meant that without Zechariah, Elizabeth would have gotten pregnant. No, you didn't hear what I said. Without Zechariah, Elizabeth, God would have made it possible for Zechariah to be pregnant. Can I prove it to you? Because Mary got pregnant without Joseph. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. So it was not their need that God was responding to. It was God's agenda that he was responding to. That one of the things that God must begin to do for you is that God must begin to help you to align yourself by his agenda. That the moment you begin to align yourself with his agenda, some of the things you are calling a problem today, you will discover that it was not a problem. When God took Joseph to Egypt, read scriptures very well. The brothers of Joseph were saying, we have sold him. We have killed that man and his dream. Just God was looking for a way to ensure, because what God wanted to do, Joseph could not become a prime minister in his father's house. The way he could become a prime minister was in the greatest civilization of that day, because his assignment was to become a posterity. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? So when he went into the caravan of the Arabians and was going to Egypt, it was transportation system that God was looking for the man who, are you hearing what I'm saying? And even the man that bought Joseph had to be the man that was a customer to Potiphar, so that when he arrives, it was not going to be that he will sell him to anybody. He had to sell him to Potiphar, so that when the wife of Potiphar now accused Joseph and Joseph was going to be sent to prison, he was not sent to any kind of prison. He was sent to the prison where special criminals from the palace were sent, so that when they meet there, there will be somebody in that palace who must come and announce to Pharaoh that I met a guy in prison. Oh, listen to me. There is no mistake in your life. I said there is no mistake in your life.
And you know what that begins to do to us is that it must inform us that sometimes when we get in, even into something that does not look pleasant, we must begin to ask God whether it is the will of God for us to be in that situation at that time. Are you hearing me? If not, what happens is that we can do something to move ourselves out of it, and moving ourselves out of that situation will actually mean moving ourselves out of the will of God. So God does not move by need. He does not move by time. He moves by his agenda. It's important that you understand this. And the agenda of God, listen, the agenda of God is kingdom. It's his kingdom. That's his agenda. That's his agenda. If you want to get the best of God, your number one assignment is to align yourself with his kingdom. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying tonight? Are we together, church? So the primary goal of heaven is the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye what? First, the kingdom and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. Please let me say this. The kingdom of God is not church. Because every time we say kingdom of God, the first thing people begin to think about is church. Listen to me. The church is a vehicle that the kingdom of God uses to achieve its goal. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? The church is a vehicle that the kingdom of God, the church is the primary vehicle upon the earth that God uses to achieve his kingdom. But the kingdom of God is not church. If you are going to become a serious Christian, are you hearing me? You must understand kingdom. Are you hearing me? Then you must also understand church. Then you must understand how God uses the church in order to achieve kingdom. If you take kingdom and replace it with church, is anybody hearing what I'm saying? The kingdom of God is the focus of God. The church is the vehicle. So you must know, are you hearing me? So you must, if you don't understand the church, you are not going to achieve kingdom. But the kingdom in and of itself is not the church. Because every time we say, seek ye first the kingdom of God, the minds of people begin to go to, how do I build church? That is good. Building church is part of building the kingdom. But the kingdom is beyond the church. The reason is that you must begin to see yourself, because, you see, in church, you can be a member of a church. But in kingdom, there is no membership. In kingdom, there is citizenship. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? In a church, you become a member. But in the kingdom, you become a citizen of the kingdom. Now, the meaning of that is this, sir. Church is the factory where kingdom citizens are molded and built. But the operating area of kingdom citizens is beyond church. That means that from today, you must begin to see that everywhere you appear there for one reason. That is to manifest the kingdom. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? Everywhere you go, your assignment is to manifest the kingdom. The purpose of your coming to church is to be equipped and to be empowered to manifest the kingdom. If you don't understand this, are you hearing me? Is the reason, listen to me, is the reason why we come to church, instead of us to come and do the assignment that church is supposed to do, we come to church, we bicker, we fight, we disagree. Kingdom is suffering. We are playing church. Listen to me. Is the reason why I keep saying this? Is the reason why Nigeria has not been fixed? We are playing church. Is the kingdom the reason why Nigeria has not been fixed? The day we begin to do kingdom, Nigeria will be fixed. Because now, we are nice in church. We display the fruit of the Spirit in church. We display the gift of the Spirit in church. In fact, you know what we do? We use church as a place to determine who is more spiritual. We are using church. When the real assignment is not inside church, the real assignment is beyond church. Listen to me. Your gift of faith is not supposed to be displayed only in the church. In fact, when you look at the apostles, which is where we are going to, every of their assignment, it was not when they gathered. Let me tell you what they did when they gathered. When they gathered, the Bible told us that they taught, they shared the word. The Bible says they broke bread. You will never find where they gathered. That was the apostles that gathered and they were doing miracles. That is, no, you won't find it, because there was nobody that needed that miracle among them. That's why James wrote and said, is there anyone sick amongst you? In other words, no one was supposed to be sick. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Everywhere they went, it was when they went from one. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When they broke the power of witchcraft, it was not in church, inside church. So listen to me. You cannot understand what God, the agenda of God, if you don't understand kingdom. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying tonight? So the primary goal of God is kingdom. That is his end goal. That is the what God had always wanted to do. His intention was always to bring about his kingdom on the earth. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is God's governing authority. Listen to me. The kingdom of God is God's governing authority, power, and influence in the life of a person. Yeah, is anybody hearing what I'm saying? If you are a believer, I'm going to use a word to describe what I'm about to say. If you are a believer, you are supposed to be the kingdom of God wherever you are. You see, the kingdom of God is revealed to us in three dimensions. The kingdom of God is you. The kingdom of God is the local assembly where you are. And the kingdom of God is the body of Christ worldwide. Please listen to me. In fact, there's a fourth dimension to which it's not the purpose of our discussion. When the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that you are not come to a mountain that cannot be touched by hands, but you are called, you are come to Mount Zion, the city. Are you hearing what? Now, at that place, there is a margin of the kingdom of God that is invisible and the kingdom of God that is visible. That's why the Bible says to the assembly of the firstborn, to the general assembly. So that general assembly, are you hearing me, is the combination of everybody, both dead and alive, that come together to make up that kingdom. Please, I want you to hear me very well. The kingdom of God is the governing authority, power, and the influence of God upon a person or in the life of a person. That means that wherever I go, are you hearing me? I'm a carrier of the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus said, when people tell you, there is the kingdom, or they say, don't believe them. He said, because the kingdom of God is in you. That is why Ephesians 3:20 will say to us that God is able, is a manifestation of the kingdom, that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ever ask or think, according to the power that is within you. That power that is within you is the kingdom of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So get this. The primary message of Jesus was about the kingdom of God. Matthew 4:7. The primary message of Jesus, when Jesus began to teach, he taught about the kingdom of God. Media, can you please give Matthew 4:17? From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or the kingdom of God is at hand. Please listen to me. Did you notice that every teaching of Jesus, every parable of Jesus was about the kingdom? He will begin by saying, for the kingdom of God shall be likened to. What shall I liken the kingdom of God? For, are you hearing what I'm saying? So every parable Jesus, or every teaching Jesus gave, was about the kingdom of God. Just follow me, we're going somewhere tonight. Everything Jesus was teaching was about the kingdom of God. So the primary message of Jesus was about the kingdom. Salvation, listen to me, salvation is the entry point into the kingdom. John 3:3. Salvation is the entry point into the kingdom. So let me back up a little bit so that you will understand. When God made man, before sin entered, are you hearing me? Man was actually placed on the earth. I hope you know that salvation was not an original plan of God. I hope you know that salvation is a redemptive plan. In other words, if man had not sinned, there would never have been anything like born again. Is there anybody here who wants to receive God? There'll be nothing like that. In the creation of God, are you hearing what I'm saying? In the creation of God, God created man without, there was no sin in man. So that redemption was not required. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, when God planted man in Eden, the mind, what was in the mind of God, is that okay? Is for man to achieve kingdom. Now, man had not arrived at kingdom when sin came. Are you getting me? Now, God then began a plan to bring back what? Kingdom. So now, Jesus begins to do certain things. Because Jesus is actually the manifestation of kingdom. So Jesus begins to do many things. So Nicodemus comes to see Jesus at night. And Nicodemus says to Jesus, no man can do these things except he be of God. So Jesus said to him, except, and so he was, what Nicodemus was asking Jesus is that, Jesus said, so what Nicodemus was saying was, you know, Nicodemus was a teacher of the law. They were the guys that were, they were the main thing until Jesus showed up. So Nicodemus was now telling Jesus, the realm of your operation is greater than our realm. What's the difference between you and us? What is it that you are doing that is making that makes you do things far greater, better than us? Listen to me. We will begin to change this world when we understand the kingdom. Jesus looked at Nicodemus, and the answer Jesus gave, the question of Nicodemus and the answer of Jesus didn't tally. No man can do these things except God be with him. In other words, there's something you are doing we are not doing. How are you doing what you are doing? Jesus looks at Nicodemus and says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Let me ask you a question. What is the relationship between the answer of Jesus and the question of Nicodemus? Let me explain to you. What Nicodemus wanted Jesus to tell him was that, there's a place I go to every morning. Are you hearing me? When I go there in the morning, I bring dogonyaro and I bring this and I mix it and I drink it. When I go out, that was what Nicodemus thought Jesus would say. Listen to me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If Jesus had answered Nicodemus like that, the wisdom of this world would have been the wisdom that Jesus would have transferred to him. But Jesus wanted to show him something. It was, what Jesus wanted to show him was the dream of Daniel, that there was a kingdom that was going to come. There was a kingdom that was greater than all any other kingdom, and it will destroy every kingdom that had come before that time. It's, the Bible says, a kingdom that was not caught by the hand of any man. No, I don't want to go into that into that matter now. Now listen to me. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? Are you encouraging me by saying yes, sir, or you really understand what I'm saying? He says to him, no man, are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, no man can do this except God be with him. And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Do you know the meaning of the answer? These kind of things are things that we normally do in the kingdom. No, is anybody understanding me? What you call supernatural is the natural in the kingdom. Are you understanding me? In the kingdom, when we walk on water, nobody claps. No, you are not understanding it. In the kingdom, when we walk on water, nobody claps, because it's something that normally happens in the kingdom. You are not hearing what I'm saying. So what I'm trying to say is that from today, there are some things that should begin to become natural and normal to you. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? In the kingdom, are you hearing what I'm saying? We don't normally have to carry money on us. It's just that if at any point, perhaps, the need of money comes, are you hearing what I'm saying? The first fish that comes out of the river must produce more. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, Jesus used fish. Your own can be the goat that is passing by. You will just catch the... Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, somebody's not getting what I'm saying tonight. I am saying that in the kingdom, we can't be broke. Not because we carry money on us, but because we understand that the cattle on the thousand hills belong to him. And at any point, are you hearing what I'm saying? See, listen to me. The first thing that should do for you is that it must remove the fear of lack from your heart. That means that there can never come a day in your life that lack will ever become a problem. Because you know that I can walk out of this hall and go and open this flower and find money. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? That I have come to a place where I understand whenever there is a need, that there is a tied up blessing, there is a ram that has been caught in the ticket and has been kept for me wherever I find myself. Oh, somebody's not receiving what I'm saying tonight. So, can I say something to you? You are never broke. Let me say something. If any brother ever tells you, "I don't have money," tell him you are a liar. You don't understand what I'm saying. If any brother ever tells you, "I don't have money," tell him what? You just lied. Say the right thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Can I tell you the right thing? I don't have cash on me right now. But I'm not broke and I'm not poor. Everything around me produces for me. Oh, you are not understanding what I'm saying. I said, everything, are you hearing me? Everything around me produces for me. In the kingdom, that is what is normal and natural. Nicodemus saw it as a miracle. Jesus saw it as a normal thing that happens in the kingdom. So Jesus said to him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So that operation was not an operation of everybody. It's an operation of people of the kingdom. Then he says to him, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter. That means that you are not just seeing what is happening now. You are a practitioner of what is happening. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? You are not just seeing. You are what? You are a practitioner of what is happening. I pray over your life that from today, you will never be stranded. Nothing will get you stranded. Because you are not operating under the economy of this world. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Everywhere you are, anywhere you stand is a different territory. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Anywhere you stand is a different... Listen to me. Anywhere you stand, are you hearing me, is an embassy of God. The rules of the environment do not apply to you because you carry kingdom anywhere that you are. Why are we taking it from the book of Acts? Because that was what the apostles understood. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. Look. They went, they met the man by the beautiful gate. The first miracle that was done. They met the man by the gate called beautiful. They said to him, look upon us. What the man wanted was the things that was operating in this world. They said, silver and gold we have not. That is that. We don't operate at that level. But such as we have, we give unto you. They said it with courage, with boldness. There was no remorse in their mouth. They were not saying it. There was no uncertainty. They said, such as we have. Help me tell three people, such as I have. Tell three people, I carry God. There is something I carry. Listen to me. I'm not normal, Lord. Be careful with me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not normal. The atmosphere around me is not normal. I said, the atmosphere around me is not normal. I'm very dangerous. You have to be careful with me. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Anything can happen around me. When Jesus walked on water, people thought that Jesus was trying to do a miracle. Jesus was not trying to do a miracle. They finished their crusade. He stayed back to clear the place where the crusade was. He sent his disciples to go ahead of him. At 2 o'clock in the morning, Jesus was walking to go to where they were. And where they were going to required a boat. There was no boat at 2 a.m. in the morning. Are you hearing me? The shortcut was to go through that water. Is anybody hearing me? Because the natural thing was to take a boat. Or he would have had to, as a human being now, go on land round and arrive there. Are you hearing me? The shortcut was to walk on water. See, Jesus just walked normal. It was a normal... You are not hearing what I'm saying. It was not as if Jesus got to where the water was and said, wow, there's water here. See, let me tell you, Jesus was walking... Are you hearing me? G-
greeting people and they were, ah, Sister Tamama, you're not hearing what I'm saying. When Peter said to him, if it is you, Lord, tell me to come. Did you hear Jesus say, do you have anointing oil with you? What did Jesus say to him? Jesus didn't, he said, come. No, you're not hearing what I'm saying. He said, if it is you, tell me to come. There was no, see, Jesus said, come. In other words, it is, you're supposed to understand that this thing is normal with us in the kingdom of God. It is normal with us in the kingdom. Jesus healed somebody, sir. The man came and Jesus said, how are you seeing? He said, I'm not seeing very, I see men as trees. He said, ah, come. He said, come. Go and wash again and come back. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is a normal thing in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So the entry point, are you hearing me? So listen to me. Born again is not just a ticket to get to heaven. Because many people, they say, if you die right now, you will not make it to heaven. That is quite okay. But it is more than that. Getting born again is the protocol to participating in kingdom life. Kingdom life, sir, is the life of God. Getting born again is the protocol how we gain access to participate in that life. It is called the life of the kingdom to come. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That when I operate kingdom, I'm actually operating a reality that this age has not entered yet. Please, is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I said, is anybody hearing what I'm saying? What being filled with the Spirit does for you. You see, we didn't even read the book of Acts that we should have read, chapter 1. Listen to me. Because the emphasis of Acts chapter 1. Is that all right? Let us have Acts chapter 1. Let's read Acts chapter 1. Because everything we are saying is from Acts chapter 1. Let's read Acts chapter 1. Give me Acts chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Are you hearing me? So the assignment of the book of Acts, actually, Jesus taught it. Jesus did it. The book of Acts now convocates us to do the same things that Jesus taught and the things that Jesus did. Or the things that Jesus did and the things that Jesus taught. And the key to doing it is receiving the Holy Spirit. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. Let's go down. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments on the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. In other words, the only thing Jesus was talking to them about was what? Was about the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. Give me verse 8. It's verse 8 we'll be looking at tomorrow. Tomorrow is verse 8. But ye shall receive power. Tell somebody you will receive capabilities. No, you don't understand. I say you shall receive what? Abilities. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How many of you have seen cars that they take the engine of another car and put in the car? They remove the normal engine and they put the engine of another car. So that car now can do certain things that in its original make, it does not have capacity to do it. Have you seen it before? I said, have you seen it before? Uncle, you're here. What I'm saying, is it correct? That there are times that the parts of a car is removed and the parts of another car is put into that car. And it gives that car ability to do what that original design cannot do. When you receive the Holy Ghost, what happens is that God takes certain abilities and attaches it to your life. So that now you are able to do things that you in your natural form, you cannot do. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be my witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? So, listen to me. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no kingdom. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no kingdom. The Holy Spirit is the engine of that kingdom. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no kingdom. And I want you to hear me very well. We'll look at that tomorrow. Listen. It was Joel that prophesied. He said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon what? Upon all flesh. And he said, when I pour out my spirit, something is going to happen. He said, what? And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. When you come to the book of John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, in John chapter 14, Jesus said, you have need that somebody should not teach you. I mean, he said, for he shall teach you all things. Then John goes and writes in the gospel, he said in the epistle, he said, you have no need that any man teach you anything because you have the Holy Spirit. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Then he said, when the spirit of truth, I'm talking to you about the capabilities that you receive by receiving the spirit. You're not hearing what I'm saying. I'm saying that by the spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? By the spirit, there are capabilities you begin to. The capabilities you know, which is good in itself, is speaking in tongues. And that's where we end. Even the speaking in tongues, we have not really explored the power of speaking in tongues. So Jesus said, Jesus made a very interesting statement. He said, if by the Spirit I cast out demons, which means that, he said, then you know the kingdom of God has come. Which means that if you want to see the Spirit of God in operation, anywhere you see the kingdom of God in operation, that means that behind that kingdom is the Holy Spirit in operation. So when Jesus, the first instruction Jesus gives in the book of Acts, don't go anywhere, don't do anything, don't start anything. Can I make it further? Don't start a business, sir, until you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Can I go further? Don't marry. Let me tell you. You know, I talked about strong meat, right? These strong meats. This is strong meat. That you come to a place where you say, if I'm going to marry anybody, it must be somebody who has been filled with the Holy Ghost. Because if the person is not filled with the Holy Ghost, there is a level of operation I can begin that he will not understand. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That when there is trouble, I need somebody who knows how to hear God. Who knows when the Holy Spirit is talking? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Who knows when the Holy Spirit is talking? Amen. Amen. Now we're even getting married to people that are not born again. Our sister says, is he born again? She says he's the choir director of their church. Sister, please, are you born again? He said, what do you mean? Say, have you given your life to Christ? You know why that question is important? It leads us to the next question. Have you been filled with the Spirit? You know why? Because I must not expect a man that is not born again, that has not been filled with the Spirit, to bring out the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You're not understanding what I'm saying? So when the man is not born again and is not filled with the Spirit, I don't expect the gift of patience. So the first time I did something and he slapped me, he only acted normal. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, you are expecting from somebody what he does not have to give you. You say, I've been sick. Haven't you noticed I've been sick? You have not asked how I'm doing. Listen, see, the gift of the Spirit is not working. What you are asking is compassion. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What you are asking, is anybody hearing what I'm saying? The person can live in offense for 3 weeks. 4 weeks, 5 weeks. The person is living in offense with you. Do you know that? Do you know that wrath is a work of the flesh? Are you hearing what I'm saying? One sister told me, she said, my husband, when he gets angry, he said he breaks everything. That he removed the TV, 60-inch. No, you don't understand. You don't understand. The question is, have you received the Spirit since when you believed? No, we need to ask you. We need to ask. You're not understanding. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That this man that I know, are you getting my point? We say no man is perfect. True or no man is perfect. But he said he has been born again 10 years, 20 years. The same lying spirit he has had since that 10 years. I'm not saying that he got born again 2 years ago. No. I'm saying that 10 years, 15 years now, we have not seen the work of the Holy Spirit. Because it is the work. Listen to me. What makes you overcome sin is walking by the Spirit. Oh, is anybody hearing me? So now we have not seen this man walk by the Spirit and overcome anything in his life. No, we need to ask you. Sorry, sir. Are you born again? Are you hearing what I'm saying? There has not been any gradual, incremental deliverance that we have seen in the life of this man. Do you know? The Bible says that for God has not given us the spirit of fear. This one that you are afraid of everything. Everything is a cause of concern. Part of the reason why you have high blood is just fear. There's a spirit of fear. You are so insecure. It's a spirit of fear. So insecure. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. For perfect love casts out fear. See, are you hearing what I'm saying? All that, where are you? Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's a spirit of insecurity. Listen to, are you hearing what I'm saying? All that, my wife cannot walk, this one is like this. Insecurity. Listen to me. When you have the Spirit of God, it deals with that. When kingdom is in operation, that doesn't work. When kingdom is in operation, are you hearing what I'm saying? When kingdom is in operation, that does not work. It doesn't find a place to have expression. So when Jesus begins to speak to them from the book of Luke, I've explained to us. I said the book of Acts is a continuation of the book of Luke. When the Bible says he began to speak to them matters concerning the kingdom. The Bible says, and he by the Spirit began to say certain things to them. Are you hearing me? Is that we can't even begin to talk about the book of Acts until we have settled the place of the Holy Spirit. And the assignment of the Holy Spirit is to establish the kingdom of God in you. Listen to me. You don't know something. You can survive anywhere. Let me say it again. Anywhere they drop you, you have the capabilities to thrive in that place because you carry the kingdom in you. Did you notice that everywhere Philip landed, revival fell over the city? Anywhere they dropped him, whether he found himself on the way to Ethiopia, or he found himself in the city of Samaria, or he dropped in Azotus, everywhere he went, he turned the city upside down. Now, let me ask you a question. when God was moving him to Azotus, was he trying to find where to get money to survive? Did you wonder where the man would have tried? Are you understand what I'm saying? Yet he landed in that city and thrived in that city. You don't know how dangerous you are. You don't know what you carry on in the inside of you. You don't know the capabilities that you carry on the inside of you. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? This is Zion, Zion, the city of God. This is Zion. Listen, there are certain words that are synonymous. One of the synonymous words is kingdom and Zion. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. When we say kingdom, we refer to Zion. That's the kingdom of God. And the Bible says, upon Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. And the sons of Jacob. You know, because of the kind of theology we have received, we used to like the first one. Upon Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. So, that has become a message. So that every time, of course, you are going to church, yeah, it's a place of deliverance. But listen to me. Do you know that it is the greater promise is not that there will be deliverance, but that the sons of Jacob shall possess their possession. Do you know that the Holy Spirit was part of the inheritance? Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. It's part of your inheritance. When Jesus said that, who amongst you who has a father? He said, who will ask for bread and the father will give him a stone? Or will ask for fish and will give him a serpent? He said, if you wicked men know how to give good gifts to your children, he said, how much more will the Father not give you the Holy Spirit? It was a reference, which means when God sees what is good for his children, he gives them the Holy Spirit. Are we getting ready? I said, are we getting ready? I said, are we getting ready? Listen to me. The thing that we must accomplish must come as a result of kingdom. Oh, I wish somebody will understand what I'm saying. That what God wants us to actually accomplish cannot come with the present mindset that we have. The mindset that will accomplish what God wants to be accomplished. Listen, Jesus, the Bible says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. And you know the problem with that, sir? We have reduced that word witness to preaching the gospel. But actually, a witness, are you hearing what I'm saying? Is that we are supposed to go out there and deploy everything. Are you hearing me? That our witnessing must not be limited to just preaching the gospel. If your witnessing becomes limited to just preaching the gospel, then your gospel has been an incomplete gospel. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying here? Is anybody hearing what I'm saying here? If you go out, listen to me. If you go out there and you heal the madman that is in that market, you don't need anything to, you don't need to preach another gospel. Oh, you are not hearing what I'm saying. I said, you're not hearing what I'm saying. I said to you, are you hearing me? When Daniel interpreted the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar, it was Nebuchadnezzar that said, no other God must be worshipped in this nation. But the God, even he didn't have a name for the God. So he said, the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That means that whatever it was that they are worshipping, we don't care what it is. Just make sure that that is the God that you are worshipping. I feel like calling the series The Witnesses. Because that's what the Holy Spirit comes to do in your life, is to make you a witness. So they said, the things that we tell you are the things that we have tested. There are things that we have seen, and we have handled them with our own hands. The city of God. Oh, I am Zion, Zion, the city of my God. Oh, I am Zion, Zion, the city of my God. tonight that you must go home and deny the no. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Tonight, your assignment is to deny the no. In fact, you need to go out and put it on your Facebook. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know that place, that yellow, that those pages they give you to write on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Write on it. Then put it hashtag Acts of the Apostles. Oh, you're not hearing what I said. Do you know the Acts of the Apostles is not actually the title of the book? You don't understand. No, it was, there was no title of the book. They just read the book and they said, these were the things that the apostles used to do. So they named the book the Acts of the Apostles. That is why the Hausa writers got it more correct. So tonight, if you don't want to write it, the Acts of the Apostles, you can go there and say, tonight we deny the no. Hashtag Ayukam Mazana. How many of you will promise me to do that tonight? How many of you will promise me to do that tonight? When you do it, screenshot it and post it on your status. Everywhere. It is Operation Dene. Listen to me. If you understand this, then you will deal with demons more easier. Because now they told you that to cast out the demon, you must pump it. No. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? You know, when I read the book of Acts, and I saw the way Paul dealt with demons, it used to offend me. He was talking with somebody called Elymas. He narrated to the person his sins first. Then he said, because of that, you shall be blind for a season. Then he walked away. As he was walking away, the man got blind. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. That's kingdom in operation, sir. That's kingdom in operation. That's kingdom in operation. When Itikus, that Ibo boy, fell, when he got there, they were crying. He said, no, the life of the man is still in him. Do you understand what I'm saying? No, you don't understand. What I saw in my spirit was that the life of that guy was about to leave him. And Apostle Paul got to the place and said, go back, go inside. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The season is coming. You can go to your area and stand and declare no more thieves around your area. No, you're not understanding what I'm saying. You cancel the operation of thieves in your angwa because you are an apostle. You're not hearing what I'm saying. To that area, you are an apostle. And you need to get there and release Ayukang Manzane in the area where you are. Listen to me. Tomorrow morning, go to your shop. They say, there's no business. Doesn't have anything to do with you. Because you are kingdom. The moment you arrive at your shop, the economy changes. Are you hearing me? You command them, customers, come. Now. Oh, we come to... We come to Zion, the city of our God.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.